And of course, you're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington. And this is Chris Bricker, and we're bringing you, sort of moved a segment around, and our regular series, Science Through Science to Health, is here on alternate Fridays. And I always speak with Lynn Sorensen, who is a RN, retired, a longtime community member of Port Townsend, and an advocate for public health awareness and promotion. And Lynn is a member of KPTZ's Virus Watch and Emergency Response Team, and she offers information and commentary on the current COVID-19 pandemic response during interviews, as I said, every other Friday this summer. Lynn Sorensen, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Chris. Good. Good afternoon.
Good to hear your voice. Well, we wanted to sort of give people a little bit of an international update. I thought that might be appropriate, you know. Sort of the exemplary of what good leadership isn't. A Brazilian judge ordered Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro to wear a face mask when outdoors in the capital city of Brasilia, citing local rules to stop the spread of the virus. And Brazil is second only to the U.S. in recorded cases, and that was, as of Tuesday, 1.1 million. And researchers in South Africa say that the first COVID-19 vaccine trial will begin this week. They're working in cooperation with Oxford University and the Oxford Jenner Institute during the trial, and they emphasize that it's important that the vaccine studies be performed in the Southern Hemisphere countries concurrent with studies in the Northern Hemisphere countries. And California has set another record for cases with more than 5,000 reported on Monday. Of course, the numbers have changed since then, and they're was also another spike in hospitalizations, which crept up to 5,065 by Monday. And Lynn and I, you and I are going to talk about what might be some of the factors influencing that. But first of all, welcome. And
Thank you.
So much to talk about, as we had discussed before the program. But right now, we have a lot of younger people that are getting infected. What do you ascribe that to?
Well, I know that it's being blamed from some governmental sources that it's all due to the protests, Black Lives Matter protests. But there hasn't been any evidence of that. I think, and there are a lot more young adults in their 20s and 30s. And that are testing positive. And this is probably due to reopening of society. It also could be from they're actually getting more tests done because the criteria has opened up, expanded to those who can be tested. But younger adults perceive less risk to themselves. And so therefore, they're kind of pushing the limits and going back into society. And some of it may just be returning to workplaces, but others to bars and restaurants that are now opening, at least in part. And then there's always the partying that's outside of all that, you know, river floats and festivals. They may just be individual festivals, individual groupings, but still, you know, alcohol often will play a part in that, and they're not necessarily thinking that they could take this exposure back to those that are more vulnerable in their own families. So I think it's a number of factors, but we do have to be careful of this, and you know, that's probably just one reason. But the virus, although it's not a person or have a mind, it's picked a good group to start being a reservoir within, you know, reservoir of disease moving into more places in our population. So it is a dangerous trend.
Well, we want to talk about maybe what we what we consider the confusion coming from leadership at the top. And let's talk about that a little bit. But first, I want to remind people that at 12:30, I'm going to have a special program coming up, and we want to make sure that everybody's aware of it and stay tuned in. Coming up today, KPTZ is airing a special rebroadcast to commemorate that this is the five-year anniversary of the day the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Marriage Equality Act. And our beloved and departed program host, Marcia Pearlstein, narrates this half-hour show, and this is being revived out of our archive, and looking to the historic significance from the Port Townsend angle. So stay tuned for that at 12:30, and I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned that at the outset here.
Yeah, I've heard that was going to happen today, and that's important.
Yeah.
And that happened in a different administration. So I think that our leaders, or our non-leaders, you know, Trump's asking for to slow the testing down because he doesn't like to see the numbers going up. So therefore, don't test so many people because we don't want to know, you know, that'll cause some problems with his support system. And Pence is saying that, oh, it's a good thing that younger adults are the ones that are now testing positive. So it's just, you know, kind of unheard of.
Yeah, I think the health experts have asked.
Have
asked Pence to back off a little bit on his rosy,
rosy
predictions. I mean, nothing wrong with being hopeful, but you have to be hopeful with within an informed context.
Yeah.
So health experts are warning about the danger of reduced restrictions and offering context about growing numbers of infections in some states after President Trump said Saturday that he had asked health officials to scale back the coronavirus testing. And then later on, of course, when the White House has to go clean up after him, they say that he was just joking. But but we're in the middle of one of the biggest public health disasters in 100 years, and it's really important for us to contextualize everything, especially, like you say, the different reasons for maybe what's happening with the younger population. It's an interesting statistics that's sort of popping right out at us.
Yeah, and it isn't just the younger ones that are going to the beaches or going, you know, crowding into pools. I mean, everybody wants to get out there, but we all have to still continue with the precautions because even though you say we're in the middle of this pandemic, I don't know that we are. I think we're still at the very beginning, and we're still looking forward to probably years of restrictions of some sort. And one of those went into place today was the governor's order for mandatory masking when you're indoor or in outdoor public settings. And this went into effect today, and there are penalties. It's considered a misdemeanor. You could face jail time up to 90 days or a fine of up to $1,000. And while it is does have penalties, the governor is stressing for people to do the right thing and not give our police another thing to do. They have enough to do without, you know, telling you you're not wearing a mask. So this is for anyone who's inside of an indoor public space or in line to enter the building, anyone seeking health care services, waiting or riding public transportation. And if outdoors, if you're unable to keep 6 feet away from others that are not within your household, then a mask is to be worn, too. So there's a lot of people that are going to be wearing masks, and we should play a big part of that. And it's just, again, one of the mitigation practices. Continue to wash hands and, keep the distancing and wear your cloth mask. So these are not huge things to do, but we do need to do them.
I was speaking with Arlene Allen, who's the head of the Jefferson right. County Chamber, the other day, and for a Compass episode that's coming up actually on Saturday at noon. But one of the things that that we talked about was consistency and what it means for people to walk into a business and expect consistent protocols being happening throughout, especially in a town like Port Townsend, where we have such an ebb and flow of tourism and people getting away and coming out to this area, this beautiful part of the Olympic Peninsula. And so one of the things that they've incorporated is a pledge that they're asking business owners to sign. And a unique posters going up in the store windows, big placards that are really well done artistically. In fact, there's an example of what people might want to do if they want to enter a mask contest. And I think that they're calling it the Masky Awards.
Right, right.
And that's going to be something that I think really is more leading by example than it is having to divert authorities away from more, not necessarily more important things to do, but their normal course of taking care of business, and asking a cop to come off the beat and come over and cite somebody with a citation. Don't necessarily think that that's the answer. I think leadership by example is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would encourage people not to call 911 to report an unmasked person. You know, that's just not appropriate. Just do the best that you can personally. You know, follow the rules yourself and be a good role model. I think that's much more important.
And
there are some people that can't wear masks. You know, there are some people that have that on their face. So there are reasons sometimes that people are not wearing masks.
Absolutely. And not necessarily want to prejudge people in that way. Mm-hmm. Well, there's lots of reasons, you know, lots of ways of explaining the trend that's happening right now, the spike and all the rest of it. Some say more people are getting coronavirus tests, and that might be one of the answers, because early on, generally only people with symptoms who were seriously ill could get tested at all. And then some public health experts said the increase is because some younger adults may perceive they're less at risk than their parents or their grandparents and are more likely to venture back in society as it reopens. But there's always the whole idea of a mask, which seems to be confusingly a point of conversation these days.
It's certainly a big issue, much more than it ever should have been, but it has become a big issue. Yeah.
So getting down to the basics about a mask, what are the basics? Why are we asking people to do some of these primitive precautions that are tried and true in order to keep the virus at bay?
Because I think the spread of the virus is primarily respiratory. And say if you are infected and you're wearing a mask, you're keeping a large part of that possible spread to yourself. And so the mask wearer is wearing it for others to protect them. It doesn't necessarily protect the mask wearer from inhaling it possibly from someone else. But it's just the one simplest measure that we all have available to us. And there have been thousands of masks that have been distributed within Jefferson County. I think it's up to 18,000 that we have received. But one problem is that they're all adult size, and so they may not fit every face out there. And I know younger children, I think under 5, especially under 2, are not to be wearing masks. But the mask can be cloth. Usually a double layer is better than one layer. But use what you have. If you have a bandana, just cover your face, cover your mouth and nose, and it should fit snugly around your mouth also. And it's ideal not to have any tears or holes, of course, in the fabric. But, you know, put it on and protect others, and that's the whole thing in that. And then, of course, the hand washing and the hand sanitizer. And I don't know if hand sanitizer is any more available now than it was before the pandemic, but, you know, that's also a good thing to carry around if you have a small bottle of that. Because it's not easy to find a hand washing station now, even though they're a little more frequent and they're outside of stores, et cetera. But I don't know that we have very many open restrooms downtown, say, that people can use to wash their hands in.
Well, I think that some of that is being addressed as we speak. But, you know, when we think back to our 20s and how Teflon-coated we thought we all were, I think it's easy to understand, especially for someone that is not symptomatic,
right,
for them to think that, you know, I'm fine, I'm healthy, I'm young, you know, why should I be wearing a mask?
Yeah.
And I think we see that all the time, but it's really, really important. I don't think we can overemphasize this often enough or frequently enough, that the whole idea of wearing a mask is to make sure that we protect the vulnerable part of our population. That's the common good.
Right. And for young adults, they have found that they need direct messaging, that print, you know, and they're not going to be reading print articles about what they need to do. Social media is needed to use in short sentences. And in one article, I read that in California, people under 35 were 44% of the new infections that they were finding. So that's, I mean, there's big numbers everywhere, but that's pretty substantial.
And, yeah, with not necessarily serious consequences for a majority of them.
They may not feel ill, but they can certainly be the inoculators of many, many people around them.
Whoops. There we go.
Another thing I noted in an article, and I'll have to do some more follow-up on this, is that there's going to be a new federal requirement starting in August that will report out the age and race of every new case that is found in the United States. So this is another way of keeping the demographics of who's infected. I mean, it's just, I think in Jefferson County, we have some breakdown in ages. And I think every county probably does it a little differently. But, you know, I think we need to know kind of what population is being hit. And so I think you're going to see more of that coming down the line, too, that we'll have more information, not specifically about the person, but about the population groups that they are within.
Yeah, and that'll be important. That'll be a very, very important statistic that may reinforce a lot of thoughts that already exist right now, demographically, and with people having privilege and opportunity as opposed to don't. So, so we'll stay tuned for that. Well, I think in conclusion, we just want to remind everybody that the Jeffco Cares program, the Jefferson County Jeffco Cares, is doing the Maskey Awards, M-A-S-K-I-E Awards. And so it's, you know, have fun and get creative. And
Show those masks off, right?
Yeah. And you're going to see some really great posters up around town when you're walking around and all the businesses that are adhering to the pledge, and they'll have these wonderful posters up in the windows with some really artfully done masks. It's almost folk art. And,
well,
you
good.
Know, it's one of these things that, you know, you come to live with something and then it turns into a piece of art. It becomes a fashion statement. So here we go.
Yeah, I'd also like to make one more comment about that we are not in phase 3 yet.
Yes. Describe phase 3 real quick.
Well, phase three, our application is not going in until the 29th of June. And they said that it'll take a little longer to be approved by the state. And I anticipate that it probably won't be approved or in effect until after the 4th of July in Clallam and Jefferson County. And I think that's to help keep the populations on the 4th of July weekend that are wanting to go camping, keeping them at home. Phase three will allow much larger groups to gather. I think up to 75% of space in restaurants can be filled. And I think also bars can open at up to 25% of their usual capacity. And camping will be allowed. Again, that's not in effect yet, but there are a number of states in the, a number of counties in the state that are already at phase three. So we are still in phase two, and phase three will not make any differences in the wearing of masks. That is a state order, and that will continue, I would imagine, until we get to phase four, but I'm just guessing at that.
And if you got to wear them, enjoy them.
Yeah.
Get creative,
make
folks.
Them colorful.
Well, Lynn Sorensen, RN, retired longtime community member of Port Townsend and an advocate for public health awareness and promotion. Thanks so much. You're part of our virus watch team here at KPTZ and our emergency response team. Thanks for the work that you do. And we will be talking to you the week after next.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.